the speed of money, your life at the speed of money. It affects everything we do. It affects the way we think. It affects who we are. And what is your life at the speed of money? It's when you find yourself still running when the sand runs out. Let me give you your life at the speed of money question for today. It's multiple choice. Who said it is more blessed to give than to receive? A, your mom or dad. B, your March Madness friends when you've picked perfect brackets so far and they're looking for you to share that big pot at the end of March or early April. C, anybody who knows you have season tickets to anything. When you have season tickets to anything, people want you to think about it is more blessed to give season tickets than to receive. If you have season tickets to anything, please see me right after the service. D, someone you know, and the first letter of his name is J. Irresistible. Jesus calls us into something irresistible. It's an amazing way to live. It's a different way to live. It's not that your life is totally different than anybody else's life, but you just experience it in a different way because there's something vertical going on amidst all the horizontal. There's something where you're getting power from a place that's greater than yourself. There's something where the Holy Spirit nudges you into experiences and opportunities that maybe you weren't expecting, but they become the ongoing story that God is writing in your life. Irresistible. Jesus calls us into something irresistible. And along the way, we learn that reality is expensive, but we also learn that there are many aha moments. Last week, I talked to you about David's three aha moments. His first aha moment was 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 37, where he said, "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." In other words, Goliath. He had an experience with God in the past. He was able to take that experience and go, aha, this experience is just another opportunity for God to show his power, for God to show up in and through my life. Aha moment number one. Aha moment number two is in Psalm chapter 51, verse 17. "My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise," or "you will not turn away from." So his number two aha is God just wants me and all of my brokenness. God just wants me to be here repentant before him, confessing before him how I missed the mark in certain things in my life, looking for me to do sacrifices, not looking for me to show up in ways that are superficial, that are only symbolic of something that has to happen deep within my heart. And so he goes, aha, the sacrifice of God is a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, you will not turn away from. His aha moment number three is in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 14. "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you. Everything comes from you. And we have given you only what comes from your hand." And so the three aha moments that David embraces are he rejects passivity to accept responsibility. He goes, "I don't have to be passive. I know that God is actively working in my life, and I can step into this moment and take responsibility. I've experienced this before." God defines the moment. He repents with humility. He knows that he's never going to be able to be everything that God has called him to be. And when he fails at that, he brings a humble, broken heart to God. He confesses what he needs to confess. He owns up to what he needs to own up to. And he charts a new course of discipleship, a new course of followership. And finally, he invests eternally because he knows the eternal God who has poured out his blessing of riches into his life. And he just turns around and he gives back. And I quoted you Daniel 12:3. Those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky. And those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. This is the irresistible life that Jesus Christ has called us into. And it's full of aha moments that recognize that reality is expensive. So we have interesting experiences sometimes with money. I had one of those interesting experiences maybe 10 years ago or so. We had flown to New Jersey for a wedding. Travis and Nina had rented a car to drive up there. And so they had a brand new Ford Focus, black. It was very sleek. Gail said, kind of looks like a really expensive car, but it was a basic Ford Focus. So we went to the wedding, and there's a Ford Focus. And he did a valet thing with the car, so everything was good. So after the reception time, he went out to get his car. The guy pulled it up. He gave him what he thought was $3. So this is like 10, 12 years ago, $3, very appropriate valet gift at that time. Gave him $3, thank you so much. Right after that, the guy, a minute or two later, comes up knocking on the window of his car, and he's like, thank you. He was all like unbelievably excited. Travis didn't know why he was excited. So we get back to the hotel, whereupon Travis finds out that this is what he handed the valet. It was all the money that he had in his pocket, a $100 bill and two fifties. He thought it was $3. It was an aha moment of the kind you don't want to have, you know. And Gail, in her completely innocent style, said, maybe he thought you were driving a Mercedes, you know, because it was so sleek and it was so good looking, and it was just a Ford Focus. So, my aha moment was I had to lend him money then for the rest of the weekend because he was totally out. He was out. Let me ask you a question I asked a number of years ago. It's a good question. It's a good your life at the speed of money question. What track is your life on? Because your track is the theme of your story. It's becoming the theme of your story, but it is also the theme of the story of your life. And you could have four tracks most of the time that you're running on. You could be running on the wrong track. You're going in the wrong direction. You're thinking the wrong things. You're making the wrong decisions. It feels like you're going somewhere, but you're really not. And time is passing. The sands are running out. You're on the wrong track. Or you're on the play it safe track. The play it safe track is you're making sure that everything's set up for you. You're trying to cover all your bases. Unfortunately, that doesn't always work out too well because life always has a way of surprising you. So playing it safe, I do not recommend. Or you're on a high maintenance track. A high maintenance track is it's all about you all the time. When you say jump, you expect everybody to say how high. The world revolves around you, and it's not a good track to be running on. Then there's the aha grace track. And the aha grace track is when you understand that you got to be running when the sands run out. The aha grace track is when you realize what the real speed of your life is all the time. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. A famous person gave the following graduation speech. Can you guess who it is? A couple of years ago, I found out what "you can't take it with you" means. I found out while I was lying in a ditch at the side of a country road covered with mud and blood. A bone from my broken leg was poking out of the side of my jeans like a branch of a tree taken down in a thunderstorm. I had a MasterCard in my wallet, but when you're lying in a ditch with broken glass in your hair, no one accepts MasterCard. We all know that life is ephemeral, but on that particular day and in the months that followed, I got a painful but extremely valuable look at life's simple backstage truths. We come in naked and we go out broke. We may be dressed when we go out, but we're just as broke. Warren Buffett, going out broke. Bill Gates going out broke. Tom Hanks going out broke. Not a crying dime. Sooner or later, things will begin to go wrong with the only three things you have that you can really call your own: your body, your spirit, and your mind. So I want you to consider making your life one long gift to others. And why not? All you have is on loan anyway. All that lasts is what you pass on. We have the power to help, the power to change. Giving is a way of taking the focus off the money we make and putting it back where it belongs, on the lives we lead, the families we raise, the communities that nurture us. So I ask you to begin giving and to continue. I think you'll find in the end that you got far more than you ever had and did more good than you ever dreamed. Think you know who said that? Here it is. Stephen King. Stephen King said that when he addressed the graduating class of Vassar College. You know, there are three questions on your speed of giving that you'll answer one day. Where did it all go? What did I spend it on? What has been accomplished? What has been accomplished for eternity? So let's spend the rest of our time together looking at what does the Bible say. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is where we will begin. Paul writes, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity." In other words, these churches shouldn't have been able to be generous. These churches were going through struggles and hardships and heartaches and problems. But while they were going through that and experiencing this turbulence, there was a welling up of generosity. This is mind-boggling, but Paul's pulling this out. "For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability." Paul says, look, the reality is expensive. And we all know that. They gave as much as they were able, and they went even beyond. They stretched beyond that. "Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us." Now we'll stop right there, because sometimes what happens when you read scripture, God throws you an amazing principle right in the middle of a passage. And if you're reading too fast, or if you want to get to the end of the paragraph, you can easily run by the principle. But God just threw us, bam, a huge principle right down the middle of the plate. Here it is. "And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us." The first way that you understand your life at the speed of money, or the first way that we understand Christian stewardship, is this relationship has to be right, because everything comes out of this relationship. The vertical has got to be on time, on target. It's got to be in the midst of all the turbulence of every day. It's got to be the most important thing that we are doing. It's this relationship here that defines everything that we do. And it's so easy, because life is so distracting and tries to get us caught up in everything else. I was with a couple of my friends yesterday, Doctors Christopher and Delia Cunningham. And they are at a church over by Mount Trashmore called Global Outreach Church. They call it Go Church. And when I was there yesterday, I snapped a shot of them against a wall in their refreshment area where they get coffee and everything on Sunday. They've got the whole world there because they have a focus on praying for every country in the world. They do that one at a time for a week, and they just take however many weeks they have to pray for every single country in the world. But Christopher was telling me an interesting story yesterday about how when they first came to the United States from Jamaica, And he kind of knew he was called to be a pastor, but he was sort of struggling with that. And he tried some churches and it wasn't working out. And so one day, as he started to kind of drift, Dahlia said this to him. And this is what a good wife should do with her husband. She said, "So how's it going with your Christian life, Christopher?" He said, "Well, it's going okay." She said, "Well, how's it going with your devotions, Christopher?" He said, "Well, it's going okay." And then she said this, "How's it going with your daily Bible reading, Christopher?" And he said, it was like everything exploded in that moment. And he realized that he wasn't doing that at all. There was no such thing as Bible reading, not to speak of daily Bible reading. He was not letting God's word have an impact in his life. That was his aha moment. It turned him. It changed him. It shifted everything. He went back to, this is the most important relationship in my life, and everything in my life flows out of this relationship. And that's why Paul was able to write this here under the influence of the Holy Spirit. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord. Because when you get this right, you get this right. When this isn't right, you're not going to get this right. When you've got God's word directing you, when you have God's word leading you, when you have the principles of Scripture directing and guiding your life, it changes things. It keeps you on track. It keeps you in what I sometimes call divine alignment. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, and he's going to say five things here, and these five things are a good way to evaluate our lives all the time. Since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, it means you're all in all the time, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Like, all this is amazing and wonderful, and it pushes into the speed of running when the sand runs out. Excel in this grace of giving. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. It's a basic principle. You can only give out of what you have. And so Paul says, if you have this right, and you're listening to God, and your life is being directed by the Holy Spirit nudging you, then when you give according to what you have, you're going to give what's right, and you're going to give what's consistent, and you're going to give what's in divine alignment with what's going on around you. You can't give what you don't have. Sounds almost silly. You know, you can't give what you don't have. You give out of what God has given you, and you let God direct that in your life. 2 Corinthians 9, we just flip a page. We go to the next chapter. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, sort of the same thing that he ended chapter 8 with. You should give what you have decided in your heart to give, because that's what you have, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So when this relationship is right, you know what you should give back to the kingdom of God, and God's the one that's supplying that, which goes back to what David learned when he was having his aha moments. And you can see how the scripture keeps repeating these same things so we understand in our hearts the desires of God. Okay, let's go to Isaiah 53, a very, very unique and cool passage. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money. This is an interesting juxtaposition, because it says, you have no money, you have nothing. Come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. How do you buy and eat when you have no money? Come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. In other words, this is free. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? You see, that's one of those roads that you're going down, one of those tracks that you're on, that it's not the right track, it's not the good track. Why spend money on what is not really going to sustain you? Why work for what really isn't going to ultimately satisfy you? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest affair. Give ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I'm giving you something that is going to last forever, and it's a promise that I'm giving you. My faithful love promise to David. And so we remember the ahas of David's life, and God is saying, I'm trying to teach you these things so that you will understand how to live in the world where reality is expensive, but I have outpaced reality. I'm giving you eternity. I'm giving you everything. I'm giving you life forever, where you're going to have everything that you can imagine and beyond, things that you can't even imagine. The speed of giving, my friends, has always been the speed of love, God's love for us. When we get this right, all this is right. Aha! See, there are four ways that we usually spend money. There's function. Function is you pay your bills. You have a Dominion Power bill, maybe you have a cable bill, you put gas in your car. There's a lot of functionality. You buy yourself a pair of shoes, there's functionality. You spend your money on fun. You go on vacation, you decide to take a day trip to water country or to Busch Gardens, and you just want to have fun, and you want to ride a roller coaster and get excited and have fun, and you want to go to a ball game. Then there's foolish spending of money. It's when you go, why did I do that? I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have given my money to that. That money's gone. I'm probably never going to get that money back again. And that's, some people call it the school of hard knocks. And you learn by foolish spending how to be wise and how to be better in the future. And then there's faithfulness. Faithfulness is getting it right here so that when the Holy Spirit says, this is what I'm doing with you and in you, this is what I've given to you so that you can give it back, then you are faithful to honor the one who was faithful to you. See to it. See that you also excel in this grace of giving. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Get this right, you got this right. I remember an aha moment that I had almost 20 years ago. I told you about my aha moment with Togo and Big Water, Big Water. I told you that last week. Let me tell you about my aha when I went to Nicaragua for the very first time. So our teams had gone to Nicaragua for several years, and mostly it was our student ministry teams that went down, and Travis, who gives away 200 tips to valets, he went down early on in his career, and he would come back and he would say, Dad, you got to come down and see this. You got to come. And I said, right now, I got a lot of things to do. So I would watch the video and I go, oh, that's great. And they'd go, hey, we're going again on another trip. You got to come down. You got to come down. And I go, right now, I'm pretty busy. I got a lot of stuff to do. So they'd come back and I'd watch the video. And then one year he said, you got to come down, Dad. And so I went and I said, oh, no. It was kind of my aha moment. Oh, no. The video cleans everything up. The video, you don't get all the smells. You don't smell the burning garbage as it comes running down the street after you. You don't see the garbage dump where people are living and smell it and walk through it yourself. You don't see the up-close face of the little girl who's trying to sell you a small plastic tube of water, and she's not smiling. Why is she a kid that should be in first grade or second grade or third grade, and why is she doing this out on the street? And you see the woman, again, with a blank expression, roasting some corn, hoping that somebody will buy a piece of corn so she can get through the day. And it's like, oh, no, aha, I get it now. And I saw a kid sweeping a room, a big room, a huge room, a room about half the size of the room that you're in right now. And the broom, you wouldn't have paid a nickel for this broom. The broom was like totally broken and didn't have bristles in it. And you're saying, hey, 12-year-old kid, 10-year-old kid, clean up this room. We'll give you a broom that doesn't even work. And I was like, aha, we have to do something. Because when I went, an organization called Orphan Network did not exist. As soon as I got back, I said, we cannot change this on our own. Aha, we need a network of churches that's going to do this together. And it's these aha moments when we understand this and what God has given us that we can understand this and what God is asking us to do. In the beginning, we used to give Orphan Network $200 a month out of the community fund, $200 a month to an orphanage with about 60 kids, because that's all we had to give. But God is faithful. The one who is faithful to us births faithfulness out of our lives to others. And about last year, maybe a year, 18 months ago, Orphan Network got a gift of $1 million from someone. We used to give $200 a month just to get it started. We didn't know, where's this thing going? How's this going to work? And then 18 years later, $1 million just falls out of God's faithfulness. This is how the speed of money works. It's really the speed of giving has always been the speed of love. It's always been the speed of love. And so that's why I gave you this prayer last week on an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. Now you have it on this little card here, so it's very portable. Fold it, stick it in your pocket, or stick it in your back pocket, or put it in your purse. I'd like to challenge you to read this every single day, because this is about getting it right here, so that it's right here. God, this is a new day. I commit myself to the role you have invited me to play as you are building your church. I am awestruck that you include me in this grand, life-giving, world-transforming endeavor. And those are not just words. I just told you, we started out 20 years ago, $200 a month, and then somebody drops $1 million, and it's ongoing. God is changing the world in us and through us all the time. So I offer you, God, my love, my heart, my talent, my energy, my creativity, my faithfulness, my resources, and my gratitude. I commit all of myself to the role you have assigned me in the building of your church. I will bring my best. You deserve it. Your church is the hope of the world. See that you also excel in this grace of giving. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. What track is your life on? Your track is the theme of your story. It can be the wrong track. You're going somewhere, but it's not the right way to go. Can be the play it safe track, think you've got it all covered on all sides so that you're protected, but you know that's not going to last. It can be that you're on a high maintenance track. You just want it all. Everybody take care of me. Or it can be the aha, grace-giving track. Who said it is more blessed to give than to receive? Your mom or dad? Your March Madness friends when you've picked perfect brackets so far? Anybody who knows you have season tickets to anything? Or someone you know and the first letter of his name is J. Acts 20:35. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I hope that you are running till the sands run out. I hope you realize what that means. I hope you have this right so that all this is right. I hope that you understand that your life at the speed of money is always love. Dear Heavenly Father, take us into the amazing, unfolding drama of redemption as you are bringing the message of your Son, Jesus Christ, into the world through us now, here, 2,000 years later. Father, let it be as vibrant and real today as it was in the first century. Let lives be touched by it and changed by it. Let people get the vertical stuff right so that the horizontal stuff works. Oh, Father, allow us to say this prayer and give our lives to you again every single day. Father, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.